This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Community Corner, and today it's my pleasure to have in the studio with me Lisa Smith from the Children's Continence Service. How are you going, Lisa?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, Ken. It's been good weather up to now, but this morning, my goodness, it was cold, wasn't it?
Yes. Wears his head, hasn't he?
Yes.
Now, today we're here to talk about Continence Awareness Week, which is from June 19th through until the 26th. Tell us why we're going to be talking about continence and children.
Well, as I said, continence in children, probably about 10% of kids will have problems with their bowels or their bladder. Mm-hmm. And again, another problem that comes up is many parents are often at their wits' end trying to get their child toilet trained and to ditch these nappies for once and for all. So, yeah, that's kind of part of it. Bedwetting as well. There's a lot of issues around children's continence during that week. Yeah.
As a parent, many winters ago, I might add, I'm surprised that it is an issue because it never was an issue for my family. Or any family that I knew of. So, so how prevalent is the problem out there?
Well, one of the things that they're really focusing on for Continence Awareness Week, you know, in June, is around bowel health. Mm-hmm. And currently, the studies have shown that over 30% of children will have issues with constipation at some point. And out of them, probably about another 30% will go on to have what we call chronic constipation, where along with that they may have overflow soiling and just lose total control of their bowels.
As those figures sound a bit horrifying as a percentage. In real terms, if we're talking numbers, like how many people would that be? Would it be hundreds, thousands?
Oh, thousands.
Now, I'm a child of the 50s, and is it more prevalent in today's society than it was back then, or did we just not talk about it back then?
I think it's a bit of both, Ken, is that we maybe didn't really talk about it back then, where I think lots of things that we didn't talk about back then have kind of come out. Yeah. Into the open now. And probably back then people were eating more wholesome foods. You know, they had a very basic diet. And, you know, their main form of fluid was either water or milk. They didn't have all the other fancy soft drinks that we have now, which all affects bowel and bladder health.
Okay, so as a parent, if we want to, if we're worried about incontinence in children, talk us through some of the symptoms. What are some of the signs that we might have an issue coming up?
Right. Well, certainly, with regards to the bowels, is that we should know what our children's bowel pattern is doing, and many parents, once kids are toilet trained and out of their nappies and pull-ups, often sort of take their eye off the ball. And then that's when things can start to regress, particularly when there is change. Any sort of change in a young child's life can actually affect the bowels in a negative way. Change with going on holiday. You know, the child is in a strange bedroom.
Yep.
They're using a strange toilet. They are not in their usual routine, and they may be eating different foods, and the parents have relaxed the routine a bit, and that's when things can start to where the child can start to have problems. Generally, most children should have, and I have a chart here, and it's good. It's called the Bristol Stool chart. And most children should have what we call a type 4, sort of soft, snake-like poo. Or mushy blobs. It should be light brown, good volume, easy to pass, no straining at all. And most children should go every day, if not every second day. If you are getting a child who's having very hard, large stools or small, sort of what we call rabbit pellets, then, hey, they may be running into, problems with their bowels, particularly if they're going, less than, if they're going, say, every third or fourth day.
So those problems that we're talking about, and I hear what you're saying about, maybe, say, a change of school or going on holiday and it gets inside the kid's head and they start worrying about things. How would we, as a parent, address that to prevent it happening in the first place? I mean, we don't just say to a kid, we're going to Australia next week or tomorrow. How far out should we be saying, getting them ready and making sure that they're comfortable with what we're doing?
Well, definitely, I say to every parent, just because you've ditched the pull up and your child is independent, they've still got a very young, what I call owl brain, and we still need to be what I call their poo and wee detector. Yes. We've got to keep a close eye on their usual sort of bowel, particularly their bowel pattern, because if they have problems with constipation, then the knock-on effect is that the child may then start having daytime waiting as well. They need to know what their child's usual bowel pattern is, and look at, we've got to ensure a healthy bowel and bladder pattern. So we do need to be looking at food and diet, that we need to be really focusing on, particularly water. Majority of us aren't really drinking enough water, and that we should be ensuring that our kids, are drinking water as cupfuls rather than just sipping. Cupfuls ensures that the bladder is working well, where if a child is sipping, then the bladder can kind of become a bit twitchy and not work as well as it should. And I go by roughly the age. So if a child is 2 years of age, they should be having roughly 2 cups of water a day, which would be like 400 mils. If they're 8 years of age, 8 cups of water a day, which would be roughly 1.5 litres. The time you get up to a child 10, 11 years of age, they should be having 6 to 8 cups or 2 litres a day. And again, most of us are not drinking anywhere near that. So that's essential for the bowels to prevent constipation, but also to ensure that their bladder is working properly as well.
Toilet training, I think most of us, when our kids dispense with the nappy and the pull-ups, we say hallelujah and we forget about it. We become very
passionate
about
that.
There an age? Is there an age, or is it different for every kid? I mean, you'd like to think that your kids might be up out of nappies by the time they're 3, 4 at the latest, I suppose. But it's not a blanket approach like that, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. And it's not. There's no magic recipe. There's no one rule fits all. We really have to focus on the child that we have in front of us. And let them, you've got to look at the signs that they're ready and let them lead it rather than putting too much pressure on the child. And, the guidelines say that, we should be looking at toilet training between 18 to 24 months. But that is, I think it's a huge complex skill, and many children are just not got that maturity, have not got all of the parts that they need yes. in order to be successful with toilet training. And really, you go by not, you know, yes, they're age 3 or 4 or whatever. That's just a chronological
yes.
age. You've really got to look at their developmental age. So kids that are a bit different, got neurodiversity or developmental delay, then you could double that time. They may not be ready, you know, until they're maybe 5, 6
yeah.
or 7. Putting pressure on kids will result in more likely constipation and problems with their bladder as well. So, yeah, we don't want to put the pressure on the kids. That you go with when they're ready. Don't do these 3 days, Google, we can potty train your child yes. in 3 days. That's putting too yeah. much pressure on the exactly. parents, too much pressure on the kids. Yeah.
When do we realise that it is a problem and then we need to see someone like yourself? Is there a time when we say, this is not right, this shouldn't be happening, we need professional help?
Definitely when it comes to the bowels, if parents have been really, you know, struggling to get their child to ditch the nappy, or they've got problems with constipation and it's going on for longer than 4 months, and that whatever strategies or things that the parents have tried and it's just not working. When they feel the child is ready, then, yeah, definitely. If they've been trying for over 4 months, then they should probably get in touch with, you know, a children's continence nurse or go and see their GP.
When I knew you were coming in, I did a bit of research on it, and I thought, well, you know, how do we help children who have got this problem? And it's quite a number of things that we can do. And no doubt you're aware of them all, but you know, they're allowing them free access to a toilet. So you can't just say to a kid, hold on till we get home, perhaps, or hold on till we get there.
Mm, mm.
How do you get around that one?
Free access to... Yeah. I'm not...
I mean, yeah, I suppose that you can't just say to people, hold on, can you?
No.
They have to really go when they need to go.
No. And I know it with my boy, is that I would have potty will travel.
Yes.
You know, you start maybe with the potty and hopefully your child can hold on for a good hour and a half or 2 hours. So you want to plan your trips if you can.
Yes.
In between these times. But, yeah, I used to keep a potty in the car so that, you know, if they got caught short, then it's like, right, Kate, we've got something there. Yeah.
Got the backup.
There are trainer pants as well.
Yes.
Which are washable, absorbent pants that just look like ordinary pants, snazzy pants, which, again, you know, if they get that, but oh, I need to go to the toilet, then if they do have a wee bit of leakage, it's not going to be a huge deal.
Everything that you're saying sounds really good, and I guess if we're at home, would work a treat.
Mm.
What happens though when we have children like that who are having to go to school? What sort of things can we put into place at
right.
school to help
yeah,
kids?
Yeah, yeah, definitely children. Who are having wetting and soiling issues at school can cause a huge amount of stress for the child, for the parent, and also for the school. And, you know, a lot of parents that have come to my clinic, they said, we're often getting called to the school to go and pick our child up because they've had an accident. And, you know, again, if this is an ongoing issue, then one thing that that I try and put into place is high health through the Ministry of Education, that the child can be given high health needs funding, so that the school is able to provide teacher aid support to help the child with their toileting problems, with the goal of them, by the end of the year, hopefully becoming independent around their toileting. When that funding comes through, then I often support the school to ensure a structured school toileting plan specifically geared for that child.
It must be awful for a child to be like that in the school environment because, you know, growing up in England in the 50s, I was bullied at school. Now, I can imagine if I was like that.
Honestly, Kane, a lot of kids, you know, do not, when they have an accident like this, wetting or soiling, it's a huge deal. They get teased and picked on. They get called the stinky kid.
Yeah.
They get called the poopy kid. Mm-hmm. And some of them just do not want to go, you know, to school. The quality of the school toilets is a biggie. And that a lot of children, are anxious and scared about using the school toilets. Because, you know, that when you go in there, there's other kids, you might get picked on.
Yeah.
It can also be a cold, smelly place. A lot of kids say it's really stinky and there's wee on the floor and there's no toilet paper. but a lot of schools are now gradually looking at this and that they're getting away from toilet cubicles where there's half a dozen cubicles and they're more looking to having a toilet on the side of each classroom or between two classrooms, which I think ensures that they're regularly checked and that the child has a privacy, but also, just like what you said earlier on, when they need to go, they got to go.
Yeah.
And that if they've not got far to go, they're less likely to have an accident.
Is there light at the end of the tunnel for both parents of children like that and, more importantly, for the children themselves? I mean, is it likely that at some stage, be it weeks, months, or perhaps the thought years, that they're going to come out of it?
Oh, without a doubt. Yep. You know, and I think if they get the support, like, you know, that my aim with my service is to raise awareness and, you know, educate agencies, particularly early childhood education, where if you can sort of early detection and prevention, then we can actually really knock it on the head so that we have less kids having problems at primary school with their toileting if we recognise that there are problems, you know, earlier on and get these problems addressed.
Okay, Continence Awareness Week. Just tell us, what can we expect to be happening in that week?
Well, every day, like I have my website and I have my Facebook page, and every day I will be putting a toilet tactics tip up there. It's a bit of a tongue twister, that one. But it's a toilet tactics tip that I'll just be putting a very short 30 seconds video over the 7 days around things that will help ensure good bowel and bladder health in children. So that's going to be happening on my Facebook page, which is Children's Continence. And on a national scale, the charity Continence New Zealand, that they also will be you know, promoting Continence Awareness Week through their social media, through various media channels. And I know that Jason Gunn may be part of that. He was part of that last year for the Continence Awareness Week last year.
That's great. And if we wanted to contact you directly, Lisa, for some help, how do we do that?
Well, I've refreshed my website.
Yes.
And so my website is childrenscontinence.com,
mm-hmm.
and people can go on there, and there's quite a lot of really helpful information on there. And then they can send an inquiry direct to me through the website.
And do you have an office that someone could come and see you at all?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm actually in Taradale, and I'm directly opposite the town clock.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm a stickler for time, because that town clock goes off every 15 minutes, 24/7. So I always know the time, day or night. I don't need a watch.
And have you got a phone number that we can call you on, Lisa?
Yes, my number is 0278-415530.
Lisa, my pleasure to talk to you. You look after yourself, and we'll talk to you sometime again in the very near future.
Okay, and thank you for having me, Ken.